Paul, if we could start off with the decision to put Mason Appleton with the Moose for however long it's going to be.
Sure. That's a six-week injury that he's been out, and he needs to get in and play minutes to get back to his best level. The fourth line here hasn't seen those kind of minutes, and so we got young players here. We don't want to have them watching games, and it's difficult then because of everybody's NHL schedule. There's just not a lot of practice time where you can, and even if we have one, we're at a half hour now, 40 minutes. We're not running the kind of minutes Mason will need to get back. So we just wanted him. They got 3 and 4 coming up with the Moose, so he'll get lots of action and get his game back.
So based on the guys that are still out there, Gustafson and Luoto won't play tonight then?
Correct. Bork's in.
What do you look at with him? Obviously, he's a guy that's been around a lot, and now you've got two-thirds of a brand-new fourth line.
Yeah, what he's always brought, he makes real good decisions with the puck. He's heavy on the forecheck. He'll block shots. So he's more than willing to do all the hard things that you've come to expect from a player who's spent his career in that role. He's also got a wonderful personality on the bench and brings a lot of energy and enthusiasm to the game. So all those things he was doing before he got hurt.
Paul, if you talk to a lot of fans, people are somewhat surprised by how well Neil Pionk has played for you guys.
Right.
From the beginning of your training camp with him, what did you see in him that maybe led you to believe he was going to be as good as he has?
Well, I've told this story before. I apologize if you have to hear it again, but in the Eastern Conference, you don't know the players as well, especially during a year. You just don't see them play. So we went into New York last year. They were on back-to-back coming out of Montreal. We came in fresh. I started Connor, Scheifele, and Wheeler, and they started Pionk and Staal. And I'm thinking, hey, this is going to be pretty good for the Jets, except we were down 3-0 after two. And I really liked his game. He played a very noticeable game. He got injured. We would have watched quite a bit of his hockey this summer. And we felt he was a version of Josh Morrissey. He's a little heavier in some areas. But the offensive part we felt was there. You just didn't necessarily see it in the games. It's a function of how they play and how we play. We play a different game than New York does. And then anybody that you take and you give them a prominent role and they play more minutes, more chances. If they're capable, then they're going to actually grow. And that's what's happened. I mean, he is a version of Josh. His ability to evade, make plays in small areas in his own end, the quick breakout plays, and then all the other things that we saw on video are still there. He picks up his reads. He picks up switch-offs, his reads. He closes the gap real well. I think Neil has come here. His skill set suits perfectly for our needs on the blue line, so he was able to adapt very quickly.
With Nick Ehlers, what happened the last game, there's a lot of people talking about that, and you look at that as kind of a leadership-type move, I would think. Do you see that in all three of him and Connor and Patty Laine,
well,
that they've taken a step forward in that?
I look at it more as a player gets to the point in the league where he won't excuse himself on the ice anymore and defer to someone else, right? And I don't think he was trying to drag our team into the fight. I don't think Nicky was sitting on the bench, hey, I'm going to go drop the gloves and get my team going. I think he hit a threshold with Getzlaff. There was a couple of sticks, some cross checks, and some slashing exchange there that he was going to stand up for himself. So we liked that. Really want him to keep his gloves on in that situation. We're not looking for this to be something he likes to do for the hockey club. We've got a whole other list for Nicky that he can do first. He's got strings now attached. He doesn't know that yet, but they will be joined.
Do you see a leadership role with those two guys?
I would say they all have gotten to a point they understand we're not winning without them. You put a young guy in on a team, he's just a player. He's just trying to make it in the NHL. He's not necessarily responsible for how the team does. He scores some points, that's great. He's going to get a big contract. Life's good. And then they realize we can't win without you. I think that Nick Ehlers, right from the start of the year, his game has been slightly different. He's been more engaged in the defensive parts of the game. If he has two or three shifts that aren't going his way, he's really aware of it now. I'm not going down the bench today saying, Nicky, you got to get it going here, because you don't need to on him. He's aware of how he's playing. I think the opportunity that he's had to play with Blake and to see the intensity level that players are playing with has driven him, has brought that even more to it. But I like Nicky's game before even he had gotten to playing with Blake.
Paul, when you think of Eric Comrie, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
I just wish I could be that happy. Like this might be, he might be the best human I've had. Adam Graves, maybe, the other one. But this guy might be the nicest guy on the face of the earth. Hardworking. Stay out on the ice all day. Take 2,000 shots. How you doing, Eric? Great, I had a great day today. Like, he's just a wonderful, wonderful personality. I'm really happy he's getting a chance to be back in the NHL. I wish the best for him after a couple of days from now. I really do. There's a guy we should all be pulling for. He's top five best guys ever. And if you know him, you know I'm not exaggerating.
Obviously, Mark Scheifele's had a lot of success. What's the value of having a guy who wants the puck on his stick when the game matters?
Well, there has to be a confidence base to that, right? Like, and he's earned the confidence to want that puck. And he will make kind of, normally the coach's decision is please shoot the puck. Don't defer to anybody else. He's got a great balance there, right? He's not passing pucks that he should shoot. And he doesn't shoot pucks he should pass. He's got a really good balance. But he's found himself surprisingly alone in front of the goalie a bunch of times lately. It was a huge goal the other night from the slot, and certainly the tying goal in Dallas for the point. He's feeling it now.
Guys learn to adapt when they come into the league. Paul and Adam Lowry scores 45 in Swift Current, and then he goes to St. John's and becomes a bit of a different player and offers so much to you, your club, and yet he still wants to score goals. And
sure.
He came in, his first season was your first full season, I believe. Like, what did you like about him immediately? How has he evolved? And, and is the offense, are we going to, you know, when does the offense come from?
They had 15 1 year, right? We were running them net front on the power play at that point in time. We had a little different forward group. The first thing we saw, and I would have seen it, I'd gone to see the American League play that year. He had a really good stick, a good defensive stick. And that is as much a talent in a lot of ways as a guy who can pass or a guy that can score. You can kind of steer a player to be in the right spots, but there are guys that have the talent of knowing Franz Nielsen, maybe from the other team. They know the spot they're supposed to be in, that they just knock an awful lot down with that stick and break passes up. So he had that. Big man that was going to kind of grow into his size and grow into his feet a little bit in terms of speed. So when he gets going, he gets going at a fairly big rate, and he's a big, powerful man. The other piece is with Adam is he's a Winnipeg Jet. Like, he likes being here. He likes playing here. And we value that greatly. Talk to Adam about his points. He's got it all figured out. Hey, our penalty kill's been better, so he feels like he's contributing. That's all he wants to do, but everybody wants to score a goal. So when Adam scores, everybody jumps probably 3 inches higher on the bench, right? Everybody's, we're happy when Patty and Scheife score. We've seen that. Everybody enjoys the goal. But when a guy like that scores a goal, because it means something to him, and he's blocked shots, and he's dropped the gloves if he had to, and he's done all the heavy lifting, you're cheering hard for him.
Well, a number of players have referenced that theme of being connected, and you have it in your room up on the wall. Do you feel as if your group's doing a better job of playing as a five-man unit this year than maybe overall?
We've got a real strong awareness that that's the only way we're surviving. And we're going to have to make that a six-man unit, because one of the really kind of good stories about our group is the back end and our goalies. And you can see it in practice if you come out and practice. But our goaltenders have bought our back end time to feel good about themselves and the style of play, right, where they're battling. Not everything's going to be clean. And maybe we're not going to drive a lot of offense from our back end, but those guys battle hard. And they'll block shots, so they'll do all the things they do. We're probably far better at just moving the front of our net 2 feet than we did for our goalies last year, buying them a half second to find that point shot. So the goalies like playing behind these guys, and our defense have a really good awareness of how important our goalies is. Just think of the change in the dynamic in the game. A defenseman who's scratching and clawing to play in the National Hockey League turns and taps the goalies on the pads and says, thanks. Or he turns and says, hey, sorry about that. So we've been able to tap the goalie on the pad and say, hey, thanks very much, and come to the bench and kind of regroup and go out for the next shift. Our goalies have bought us time to build confidence.
Did you feel from the beginning that guys bought into the style of play that you guys were going to have to play in order to have success? Or is there a point in these first 30 games where you felt that it turned the page?
Well, the big change is we got some guys back, right? Like when Boyle came up in and off his injury and Spezza came in, we added two guys that kind of changed our back end pretty drastically. I love Ville Heinola. I mean, he was good. He had good numbers, but there's a difference in style. We're not Ville. We weren't screaming at him to block shots or take the guy out in front of the net. So that was the big shift, I felt. We made a pretty significant change to our blue line at the end of October, and we've been a pretty good team since then.